Welcome to Connecticut's capital, the city of Hartford. Historically known as one of the nation's leaders of the manufacturing and insurance industries in the 19th and 20th century, but crumbling state leadership and poor investments in the 50s and 60s, as well as divestment to move businesses to more suburban areas, has created a vastly different legacy. Nowadays, Hartford is probably more known for being home to four of the poorest zip codes in the state, or its placing on the FBI's most dangerous cities list. So how does the capital of Connecticut go from being known as the insurance mecca of the world to being seen as a mismanaged laughingstock? The short answer? Lack of opportunities for those that live here. My name is Kyla Jackson, and on this episode of How to Train Your Demons, we explore how Hartford became this way. The year is 2017. I'm fresh out of college, broke as all hell, and unable to find an entry-level job in Hartford to save my life. Frustrated, I began venting to my friends about the lack of employment opportunities available to me. That's when I learned what some of my peers saw as the worst-kept secret. If you want a career in Hartford, don't live in Hartford. As a pro tip, I was advised to remove my address from my resume. Shortly after doing so, I got a job.
I heard that certain businesses in Hartford, they see on your resume that you're from a certain zip code in Hartford, that they'll toss your resume in the trash.
Oh, that's a scarlet letter now, isn't it? Your zip code.
Yeah.
That's Albert DeChera, the chair of sociology and criminal justice department at the University of Hartford. Albert has worked with Hartford residents for decades and has seen firsthand how much of a struggle it can be for locals to find decent housing, full service grocery stores, and most importantly, meaningful employment.
Yeah, there are people coming into Hartford for jobs, and there are some good jobs in Hartford in some of the insurance companies and the hospitals and things like that.
Coming into Hartford, not from Hartford. Back in 2017, the same year that I was looking for work, the insurance giant, Aetna, released this statement. We are in negotiations with several states regarding a headquarters relocation, with the goal of broadening our access to innovation and the talent that will fill knowledge economy type positions. I don't know about you, but that doesn't sound like a company that's eager to hire within its city. They eventually got a few tax breaks and agreed to stay, for now. But those jobs are saved for commuters from other places.
But they do get a chance to work at a baseball stadium 4 months a year, selling hot dogs and cleaning toilets.
Opportunities are not offered to the people who live here.
That's Wildelise Bermudez, the Hartford City Council minority leader for the Working Families Party. She too notices this trend.
There's not that intersection of where you could say, I'm just going to throw a random number, 70% of our employees in the city of Hartford live in the city of Hartford. That is not true. And so we can break it down department by department. I know that the firefighter department has a lot of firefighters, upwards of like 80%, 70 to 80% who live and work here. But we can't say that across the board for all these other sectors within the city, right?
Hartford has made several infrastructural improvements in the downtown area in recent years. New restaurants, improved roads, new parking lots, entertainment centers. But who are these investments for?
Almost like this reality of two Hartfords, right? There's the nice looking parts of Hartford where people from the outside come. And then there's these very strategic places that are disconnected. And we see how historically that's all tied in, of course, to like redlining.
The funniest part about the city's plan to cater to outsiders is that it doesn't work. There's no nightlife whatsoever. After 5 p.m., downtown becomes a ghost town.
When we look at other cities that are really happening and cool, and then we say, wow, that there's a lot of culture there, and we're excited about those cities because we can have spontaneous connections with people, and we can, you know, go to one place and hear beautiful music coming from the park. And like all of these connections exist here, but those opportunities do not and have not been really lifted up in the way that they need to be.
It's an underutilized economic sector with a lot of potential going to waste. So what are some solutions?
We need to stop asking for the bare minimum. Like what we've been in so many different negotiating tables, and let's say like companies come in and we just get so excited. We're like, yay, they're here. They're awesome. And then we look at the community benefits and we're like, oh wait, that's all you're going to employ from Hartford? Because the people who get left behind are our people. So as a community, we need to demand more. Demand more from our local government. Be present in our local government. Like, what are they voting on at the end of the day? The whole point of being on city council and serving in this way is so that we can advocate for the community. Because there's a lot that's happening right now that literally impacts our existence as residents of Hartford.
Hartford's issues of crime, dysfunction, and mismanagement stem from residents living in poverty and those in power turning a blind eye to it. That can change. I have seen and experienced the innovation, creativity, intelligence, and passion that Hartford residents have. And with strategic community-centered goals and a true desire for neighborhood reform, I know that Hartford residents can influence the future of the city. Harvard University and the U.S. Census once created a wealth map that shows how living in a certain zip code will more than likely determine the trajectory of a child's life. With compassionate leaders and heavy community involvement, we can make sure future generations do not ever feel shame from including the city of Hartford on their resumes.